Welcome, everyone. Today we're diving into something really critical, a new law, Texas Senate Bill 140, SB 140.
Yeah, SB 140. And look, this went into effect September 1st, 2025. And honestly, it's being seen as a potential bombshell, maybe even an existential threat for American small businesses.
Right. And not just businesses in Texas, but potentially everywhere.
Everywhere. That's the crucial point. If you communicate with customers via text, that changes the game dramatically. Wow. It forces this immediate, really profound shift.
Okay, so our plan today is to really unpack this law. We want to explore, you know, its reach, the huge challenges it throws up, and importantly, look at compliance strategies. How can businesses actually navigate this and, well, keep going?
Exactly, and we're leaning heavily on a really insightful, detailed article by Tony Derek Baker. He's the founder and CEO of Zeal. The piece is called Texas's New SMS Law, SB 140, is unconstitutional and hurts American small businesses everywhere.
Got it. Okay, let's get into the weeds. To really understand the impact, what exactly is SB 140 and who's it really targeting?
So at its heart, SB 140 is a Texas state law, but it targets any business, literally any, that sends text messages to people identified as Texas residents.
Any business, regardless of where they are.
That's the kicker. Doesn't matter if you're in California, New York, Florida. Doesn't even matter what the recipient's phone area code is. If they're deemed a Texas resident, the law applies to your texts to them. It's incredibly broad.
Wow. So, okay, most people think spam laws, right? Unsolicited texts. But this goes further.
Oh, much further. This isn't just about cold outreach or obvious spam. It hits legitimate, everyday customer communications.
Mm-hmm.
Think about sending a receipt that maybe has a little promotional note at the bottom.
Like, check out our new sale.
Exactly. Or customer reactivation texts, you know, we miss you.
Mm-hmm.
Deals, birthday offers, even appointment reminders if they include some kind of call to action, like book your next visit.
So any kind of promotional element, even with existing customers.
That's the core of it. If you're texting existing customers with anything that could be seen as promotional, the law says you have to register with the state first. It's a massive change from how businesses normally operate.
And immediately, Tony Baker's article points out what seems like a huge, maybe impossible problem. How is any business supposed to know for sure if someone is a Texas resident?
This is the central flaw, yeah. It creates this impossible standard. Baker even uses his own situation as an example. He's had a Texas area code phone number for like 15 years.
Okay.
But he hasn't lived in Texas for over a decade. Spends most of his time in Costa Rica. His number screams Texas, but he's not a resident.
And the flip side,
people who actually live in Texas might have phone numbers from California or wherever they move from. There's no reliable, real-time way for a business, especially a small one, to check residency definitively.
So you're basically guessing, and if you guess wrong,
you're exposed to potentially devastating fines. It's a huge risk built into the very foundation of the law. And it's not just the residency headache. There are practical things, too, like strict quiet hours. No text before 9 a.m. And on Sundays, not before noon.
Okay, that sounds simple enough on the surface.
Until you remember Texas has two time zones, central and mountain. So sending a message thinking it's 9 a.m. in one part of Texas could easily violate the rule if the recipient is in the other time zone. Accidental violations become really easy and really costly.
All right, this residency confusion and the time zones are tricky, but I suspect the really heavy stuff comes with the actual requirements and penalties. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Crippling is not too strong a word. It starts with this incredibly invasive registration process if your business isn't exempt. Before sending any promotional text to a Texas resident, you have to file Form 3401.
And Form 3401 isn't just your name and address, I take it.
Not even close. It's a deep, deep dive. You need complete corporate docs, articles of incorporation, bylaws, then full ownership disclosure, names, addresses, birth dates, even driver's license details for every single officer, director, partner, owner, manager.
Wait, driver's license details for sending a text message?
Yes. And every business location, every phone number tied to those locations, info on related companies, notarized statements, and you have to agree to be sued in Texas.
Yes, it's
well, the article calls it advanced punishment.
Yeah.
You're essentially proving you're good before you even do anything.
That's way beyond registration. It feels like a full audit just for the privilege, quote unquote, of texting customers.
Precisely. And then there are the costs. A $200 annual fee, okay, maybe manageable for some, but also a $10,000 surety bond.
Explain the surety bond part again.
It's basically insurance that guarantees you can pay potential fines, But maintaining that bond costs you an extra $500 to $1,000 every single year.
On top of the fee.
On top of the fee. Plus, you need quarterly updates, addendums, listing the names and addresses of everyone involved in solicitation, copies of scripts, sales materials. Even if your selling is just done through text messages, because the law now lumps texts under telephone solicitation.
Wow. Okay, that's a mountain of paperwork and cost. Are there any businesses that get a pass? Any exemptions?
There are some, yes, but they're very specific and quite narrow. Think publicly traded companies, big financial institutions, certain subscription sellers, maybe established businesses marketing only to their existing customers for over 2 years, certain brick and mortar stores.
So some relief, maybe.
Only from the registration, the bond, and the fee. That's crucial. Even if you're exempt from registering, you are not exempt from the strict rules about how you market via text. Those marketing conduct rules still apply to everyone. You need prior express written consent for promotional texts. You have to honor SDOP requests immediately. And those quiet hours, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday, Saturday, noon to 9 p.m. Sunday, still apply.
And if you slip up on those rules, even if exempt from registration?
Big trouble. All violations are treated as deceptive trade practices under the Texas DTPA, the Deceptive Trade Practices Act. And that opens the door to serious penalties.
Okay, let's talk penalties. What happens if a business, maybe a small online shop somewhere totally outside Texas, makes an honest mistake, sends a text that violates one of these rules?
The consequences are they could easily kill a small business. Private individuals can sue you directly.
Okay.
And they can get awarded $500 to $1,500 per violation. That's per text message.
Per text, not per campaign, per text.
Per text. And if the court decides it was a willful violation, they can triple that damage award. Plus, you pay their attorney's fees. Plus, potentially damages for emotional distress.
That could add up incredibly fast.
Incredibly. And that's just the private lawsuits. The state of Texas, through the Attorney General, can also impose separate civil penalties up to $5,000 per violation.
Per violation, again, per text.
Per violation.
Yeah.
And critically, there are no caps on these claims.
Oh.
A single customer could potentially file multiple lawsuits over time if the issue persists.
So let me make sure I have this straight. We could be looking at $1,500, maybe more, per single text message sent accidentally to someone who happens to be a Texas resident, even if my business is, say, in Maine.
That is exactly right. The reach is nationwide. Consumers can sue directly under the DTPA, and the Texas AG can come after you, even if a private suit has already happened. The financial risk from just a few missent texts is enormous.
The article also mentioned something about this being like an advance punishment. Can you elaborate on that idea?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point Baker makes.
Yeah.
Because Texas requires these non-exempt businesses to register, pay fees, post that bond before sending a single promotional text. It acts like what lawyers call a prior restraint on speech.
Meaning
you have to pay and jump through hoops before you're even allowed to speak, commercially speaking. The article argues this functions like an unconstitutional interstate tax under the Commerce Clause. That's the part of the Constitution meant to stop states from messing too much with business across state lines.
So it's like a pay-to-speak system for texting.
Essentially, yes. And if you don't register first, you're automatically violating the law right out of the gate, exposing yourself to all those massive penalties we just talked about.
And another huge issue seems to be the fuzziness around what's transactional versus promotional. That sounds like a nightmare for compliance.
It really is. The law's definition of telephone solicitation is incredibly broad. It's basically any message sent for the purpose of encouraging the purchase of goods or services.
Any message. That could be almost anything a business sends.
Exactly. It creates this minefield. A simple text confirming an order but adding, check out our new arrivals, is that now promotional solicitation?
Or an appointment reminder saying, see you Tuesday. P.S. We now offer service X.
Precisely. Under this law, that little P.S. could potentially trigger thousands in liability if sent without prior registration and consent to a Texas resident. Even if the main point is just customer service, adding any secondary promotional content creates huge risk.
So businesses face this choice: send really bland, maybe unhelpful texts, or risk bankruptcy.
That's the impossible position it puts them in. It definitely stifles helpful communication. You know, you mentioned the El Paso owner texting someone in Texarkana that time zone issue is bad enough, but now layer on this promotional ambiguity. It's tough.
The article gives some real-world examples of common business practices now totally at risk, right?
Yeah, it does. Things that businesses rely on, like missed call text backs. You know, the automated, sorry we missed your call, how can we help message.
Sure, lots of places use those.
But if that message includes a link to book an appointment or view services, even though the customer called first, the article suggests it could be classified as a solicitation under SB 140, triggering penalties.
Wow. What else?
Reputation management. Asking for reviews. A text like, "How was your service with Bob? If great, click here for a Google review link." That could be seen as marketing. And then there are customer reactivation campaigns.
The "we miss you" text.
That's exactly. "We miss you. Come back and get 10% off." Or, "Happy birthday. Here's a discount." Standard stuff for many businesses. But now, sending that to a Texas resident without having jumped through all the hoops carries potentially thousands of dollars in risk per message.
It really feels like this law ends up punishing legitimate American businesses just trying to do normal business things, provide good service, maybe grow a little.
Well, and this is a key point in the article, it does absolutely nothing to stop the actual spammers, particularly the foreign ones.
How so?
Well, think about it. Those massive spam operations, often overseas, they're not going to register in Texas. They're not going to pay fees or get a bond. They'll just ignore it completely. The law has no teeth against them.
So it only really impacts businesses trying to follow the rules.
Exactly. It's effective primarily against compliant American small businesses who just can't absorb these kinds of compliance costs and risks the way a giant corporation might. Baker argues this likely violates the Commerce Clause by burdening interstate business, due process because of the vague Texas resident definition, and the First Amendment by chilling legitimate commercial speech.
But you mentioned earlier, other states have strict SMS laws too, Florida, Washington. Does that suggest this Texas law might stick around despite these constitutional questions?
Unfortunately, that's a real possibility. While SB 140 seems particularly problematic, the fact is similar tough SMS laws are actively enforced in other states, often with significant per-message penalties. So even if Baker's constitutional arguments are strong, and even if there are legal challenges down the road...
It could take years.
Exactly. It could take a long time. And in the meantime, SB 140 is the law, and businesses need a way to operate now without risking everything.
That's a really bleak picture for businesses that depend on texting. And let's face it, in 2025, that's almost everyone. How vital was text messaging before this law?
Oh, incredibly vital. The data speaks for itself. Texts get, what, a 98% open rate? Compare that to maybe 20% for email?
Huge difference.
Huge. And people are way more likely to actually respond to a text, like 295% to 400% more likely than responding to a call. And voicemails, forget it. Something like 80% never get listened to. It's why around 80% of U.S. businesses were using SMS. It just worked.
So by making texting so risky and difficult, SB 140 isn't just hurting businesses trying to communicate effectively.
It's arguably hurting consumers, too. It forces businesses back to less efficient, less convenient methods that people, frankly, don't prefer anymore.
Okay, so the situation seems dire. But the article doesn't just point out problems, right? It proposes a path forward.
It does. And this is where Tony Baker, writing as CEO of Zeal, really emphasizes a compliant alternative. He strongly encourages businesses, especially small businesses hit hardest by this, to look at ZLI's voice AI agents as a way to navigate these risks, particularly while the legal dust settles around SB 140.
Okay, so tell us about that. What does this mean for you listening if you're running a business and thinking, how do I deal with this mess?
So the idea presented in the article is that ZLI's voice AI agents offer this critical workaround. These aren't just answering machines. They are AI agents that can handle calls 24/7, 365 days a year.
Handle them how?
They can answer common customer questions, qualify leads if someone's calling about a service, actually book appointments right there on the call, provide immediate support, basically handle a lot of the communication that might have previously involved risky texts.
All without sending SMS messages that fall under SB 140's promotional rules.
Exactly. It allows businesses to maintain that crucial immediate contact, capture leads, provide service, but stay completely compliant with these new, really strict Texas texting regulations. It's positioned as a direct way to bypass that whole SMS minefield SB 140 creates.
What about consent, though? If the voice AI books an appointment, can you then send a confirmation text? Or does that still need special consent?
That's a really important clarification. The article notes that transactional texts are generally okay without specific written consent if they directly relate to something booked via the voice AI. So a text saying, "Your appointment is confirmed for Tuesday at 3 p.m. or "Quick reminder, your table is ready," those should be fine.
But no promotional stuff added?
Correct. As soon as you add promotional content, you need that express written consent. Just getting verbal permission during the AI call isn't enough for promotional text under these laws. That written consent needs to be captured separately, like through an online form, and it can't be pre-checked or required for a purchase.
So federal TCPA rules still apply, plus these Texas layers.
Yes. Federal law already requires written consent for automated marketing texts. SB 140 adds significant state-level risks and requirements specifically for Texas residents. But the point is, using voice AI for the primary interaction, answering calls, booking, qualifying, removes the need for many risky SMS messages in the first place.
Got it. So it sounds like the argument is that voice AI provides a crucial lifeline. It lets businesses keep communicating, keep growing, without living under the constant shadow of these potentially crippling SB 140 fines tied to texting. It's presented as an immediate, compliant path forward.
Wow. We've definitely covered a lot today, from the nitty-gritty of Texas SB 140 to its really broad, potentially devastating effects on small businesses nationwide, and importantly, this potential solution highlighted in Tony Derek Baker's article.
Yeah, it's really striking, isn't it, how sometimes these regulatory frameworks, maybe designed with older problems in mind, just clash head-on with how we actually communicate now. We all live these mobile, interconnected lives.
Right. And trying to apply strict location-based rules to texting becomes incredibly messy. And that vagueness around promotional versus transactional, it just puts almost every business in a really tough spot. And like the article argues, the irony is it seems to end up punishing the legitimate American businesses trying to do the right thing while the foreign spammers just carry on.
It really hammers home how urgent it is for businesses to figure out compliant communication strategies. And it seems, at least until the courts potentially sort this out, solutions like the Zeal AI voice AI agents Baker proposes offer a really vital way forward, a way to answer calls, help customers grow the business without that constant fear of astronomical fines. So what does this all mean for you listening?
You know, it really brings up a bigger question for all of us, doesn't it? As technology keeps evolving so quickly, changing how we connect and do business, how do we make sure that our laws meant to protect consumers don't accidentally end up stifling the very innovation and small businesses that drive so much of our economy?
That's a really powerful thought to leave with. Maybe take a moment to consider how regulations like this might be impacting businesses, perhaps even innovation, in your own area. Thanks for joining us for this exploration of Texas SB 140.